Begin by thanking my dear friend Yadid Nafshi Yosef. It's already the 20th year that we've been together for this occasion for the Yard site. And I think we all feel more than ever before that the time is coming where we're going to have this Hilula together with Yosef and Eretz Yisrael. It should be soon, Mitzvah Shah. To Arye and to Avi, beautiful Nigunim, Chevra, the Misadrim and Shul that Yaakov was just mentioning. There's so many names, adults, children. It took so much hard work to put this together. It's so much easier when we're able to in the way that we always do. And I miss so much being able to tovel in Mikveh Yisrael Hashem and Hashem's beautiful mikveh. This chevra, this kehila, Jews, mevakshei Hashem. I want to thank all the sponsors, each and every one. All of us are davening that it should be a refuah shleima for all chayli Yisrael, and for the whole world that is so in so much pain and suffering so much. It should be a refuah and yeshu for the whole world, Bezah Hashem. The kingdom of children. I want to give a special mazel tov. Last year, at the time of the Rebbe's Hilula, I went and had a shaloshidus together with the children, with the boys, and I challenged the children, I challenged the boys, maybe I should have done that with the girls too, but it was a boys' shaloshidus. I challenged them that whoever would learn over the course of the year, in honor of the Rebbe, whoever would learn Chavos HaTalmidim, they would get a substantial prize in Olam Hazeh, besides all the schar in the next world, which is immeasurable, but in this world too. And I didn't expect there to be so many. I'm going to have to figure out how to get this together. Ephraim Feder, Ayaleb Feder, Leib Yitzchak Weingart, Yedida Tepfer, Yeshua Lipschitz, Shlomo Weiss, Meir Ginsburg, Shmuel Dinowitz, Nari Klinkowitz, each one of these bachrim of Hashem's kingdom of children who He's brought into the world after the Rebbe left the world not knowing what would be. And to each and every one, I wish a mazel tov. A mazel tov. We're so proud of you. So much nachas. We live for you and we live to see you growing and going in the ways of the true tzaddikim. I'm going to speak a little bit now and then we'll have some more nigunim and then I'll speak again a little bit afterwards. We understand that this way of Fabring is unnatural and it's hard with the screen to be in such a way. It's the 76th Yard site. 76 years. I think that most of you know by now that for me personally, this time is not just the Hilul of the Tzaddik and to remember this great Tzaddik after whom our Shul, our Kehila is named, but it's a time to think about and to remember the Jews of his generation, of that generation, and what it is that they went through, what is it that they saw in the Rebbe, and what does the Rebbe mean to us now? There's no grave, there's no kever. There isn't a zecher of the Rebbe that we could look at, that we could touch, that we could smell. But Toye Eretz Mikvedecha, but the world is mamish shining with his light. Be'or chanira or, and his light, the light of Hashem and the light of the true tzaddik, we see light. Over the past few days, I've gotten emails and calls from different groups of Jews all over the world. All over the world, who are getting together to Fabreng in honor of the Rebbe's Yard site. Just 28 years ago, when we had the first Hilula, that first year of the Shul, there was hardly a mention. Outside of some small groups, there was hardly a mention. Of course, there were those who were always learning the Svarim, but since that time, in a few years, the light of the tzaddik is mamish, mamish. It's exploded. It's everywhere, everywhere. And we need to understand on our level Why is that? Where does this light come from? What is it that's unique about the fire, the light of the Eish Kodesh, of the Pius Etzner? Of course, each and every one of you has already read whatever we have of stories and biography, and you've heard different things. Chazal asks in the Medrash, it's in the Medrash Rabbah Vayikra, in the Medrash Rabbah Breishis, it's in the Yalkut, it's in many places. Chazal asks, Meheichan Oira Yotzal Olam. How did Hashem's light come into the world? How did the light of the Beis HaMikdash, how did the light of Hashem come into the world? It's a strange question. And not only that, but Chazal tell us that this discussion was belechisha, that the tzaddikim were whispering to each other. And the Medrash says, Nis'atef HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'Salma, Hashem wrapped himself in a thick robe, in a thick covering, V'hivik kol ha'olam kuloi miziv hadaroi, and all worlds began to shine with his beauty, with his wonder. So why is this a secret? It's a beferish pasuk, Oita arka salma, noite shamayim keiria. Hashem concealed himself, Hashem wrapped himself in darkness to create the world. Obviously, there's some deep sorry, the secret of what it means to be a Jew. That the tzaddikim, when they spoke about this, they were whispering to each other. Belechisha. Karach amarti lecha belechisha. Because each and every one of you knows that Hashem Baruch made the world in such a way of Reisha Chashucha Vahadar Nahaira, that it was evening, it was morning, there was darkness, and there was light. Each and every one of you knows that everything that came to be and everything that we have in our lives came only following a time of Nis'atef HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'Salma, of Hashem covering himself and hiding himself in such darkness. That tohu vavohu of creation preceded Kabbalah Satayra. The Torah was given in a desert, B'Sohu Yilel Yishimain, in the howling wilderness of the desert, of the emptiness of the desert. The Mishnah, Rabbeinu HaKadosh, Rabbi Yudan Ossi, the Mishnayos were compiled at such a time of all the Gezeiros and the darkness of the Roman Empire of Amalek. The Gemara is B'machashakim HaYishivani Kimeisei Olam. We were mamish Kimeisei Olam after we were exiled from Eretz Yisrael, from Yerushalayim. We went down to Bavel and we thought that Hashem was finished with us. We thought that everything was done. Hashem was so hidden, he was wrapped in such a thick, thick covering. And davke b'machashakim ha'yishivani kimeisei olam. And davke from that darkness of Bavel came the light of our lives. The Talmud Bavli. The Zohar HaKadosh, Rabbi Shimon, the light of all light, the life of our lives. Ir v'kadosh mishmaya kanachis, the light of our lives, Rabbi Shimon's light of the Zohar HaKadosh, the brightest light of creation, of the 7 days of creation, came out from the darkness of that cave. The light of the Rishonim, the Inquisition, the Crusades, the light of the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, the pogroms, Chalmaniki Yimach Shemai, and Cheva, the light of Mashiach, which Hashem is weaving together now, and he's at the end. Hashem is at the end of the tapestry that he's been weaving from the beginning of time, from the first time that he said, Yihi Or, is darkness that the world is now enclothed in. Nisaf HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'Salam HaShem has wrapped himself in such a covering and such a robe. Oyer HaMashiach. The light of Mashiach is about to be revealed. So if we want to understand, what is this connection to the Eish Kodesh? Why is it that the whole world is on fire with this fire of Rabbeinu Reb Kalonimus Kalmish and Rabbeinu Harav Eli Malach Susi Elena? Hashem should avenge his blood. Meheichan Yotza Oyer La'olam. From where did the light, this light of the Rebbe, appear? From where did it emerge? From where did it come? Now you all know that the Rebbe was the biggest miuchas by all the Chassidish Rebbes. He was a miuchas from every tzaddik. Koznitz, from the Rebbe Elimelech, from Stalin Kalin. He was a miuchas to all of the big tzaddikim. He was born into the world as a prince, as a Rebbe. He lost his father, as you know, as a little boy. His father was from the biggest, biggest Rebbes in all of Poland. And from the time that he was a child, he was shining with that light of Kedusha, of Tahara. But Ba'oimik u'Be'emes, we know that there were other tzaddikim. We're not allowed to make any comparisons. There were other great tzaddikim. There was Svarim written by other tzaddikim. There were great and heroic tzaddikim through the ages. But there's something different about the Rebbe. I mean, there are a number of differences, and I try every year to touch upon something, to touch upon one nekuda. But when Chazal asked, Meheichan Yotza Or La'olam, where did the light come into the world? And the answer that they gave, B'lechisha, Nisaf HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'Salmi. The light of Reb Kalonimus Kalmish, the light of the Eish Kodesh, came out, was revealed from that darkness of Tohu V'Avohu V'Choshech Al Pnei Tohaim. From the deepest, deepest darkness, from the thickest covering that Hashem ever wore, thicker than anything that was at the time of the Midbar, or the Mishnayos, or the Gemara, or Rabbi Shimon, or the Crusades, or the Inquisition, or the pogroms. The light of the Rebbe came in such a way, from such darkness, in those days of Shnayos Hazam, the years of rage, of fury. And from that place, Hivhik Kol Ha'olam Kulai, Miziv Hadaro. Just as Hashem's light of Ayom Elokim Hi'ar, and just like the light of the Beis HaMikdash, Davki emerged from the deepest, deepest darkness, from that covering of Nisat HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'Salma. Just as that happened in such a way, the unique light of the Eish Kodesh came into the world from that darkness of those years that my parents lived through, my grandparents didn't live through, and many of yours, as you know from your own families. You know, already at the beginning of the end, there was a tremendous ishtadlus that was made on the part of faithful and loyal Hasidim in Poland, in Eretz Yisrael, in America, in other places of the world, to smuggle the Rebbe out, to get the Rebbe out of Poland. And there were papers that were arranged, and there was an escape route that was planned. But the Rebbe's response to this offer of leaving was very simple. He said, I am not a deserter. I do not desert my people, I do not desert my chassidim, I'm not leaving them. And he went through those months in the ghetto, the Torahs that are preserved in Eish Kodesh, until the deportation, the liquidation of the ghetto. And the Rebbe was very much involved in what was going on there, the uprising, v'chulu v'chulu, until finally the liquidation took place and the Rebbe was taken away. And even when the Rebbe was in camp, even when he was in the camp, there was a mahalach that was planned. At that time, there was a very big bilbul going on, and there was a mahalach that was planned for the Rebbe's escape from the camp. But the Rebbe told those who were making this effort that he had a bris. He had entered into a covenant, a bris, with 20 other Jews, some of whom were religious and some were not even religious. But he had an agreement, a bris, with 20 other Jews, that no one is going to leave the others alone, that they're going to remain together. If there's a way to escape, they're going to leave together. And if there's no way, they're going to die together. So the ones who were planning this escape, they begged the Rebbe and they said that we can't do this with 20 people. We can't leave with an ilam. We could only try, Rebbe, one person. So the Rebbe said, "Oy bazoi, I don't desert, I don't leave them." So then they said, "Well, maybe we could try to do this one person at a time from your chevra, that you're part of the bris. Maybe one Jew at a time could leave." And the Rebbe said, "To that I'm asking, but on the condition that I'll be the last one to go. Only after I see that the rest of the chevra, one by one, was able to leave, only then will I agree to go. Beini ubeini, in the meantime, nothing worked out." And of course, they were all murdered, they were all killed. Those words, that I'm not a deserter, I won't leave the chassidim. After the milchama, one of the survivors, who was a chassid of the Rebbe's, who managed to survive the war, said that this Nemonis, this faithfulness of the Rebbe, that I will not desert, I will not abandon my brothers and sisters, I won't leave them, was exactly what he spoke about, this chassid remembered, when we were together with him before the milchama. When the Rebbe said the following, it's recorded, the Rebbe used to say, "Rebbe shaloi mukhan leilech legehenem." Any Rebbe that's not prepared to go to Gehenem, kedei lahatzil chassid shaloi miredes shachas, a Rebbe who's not prepared, who's unwilling, who's afraid to go down into Gehenem, down into the deepest places of Gehenem, to save, to help one of his chassidim, einenu Rebbe klal. He's not a Rebbe at all. So even though we understand that, of course, the light of Reb Kolodimus Kalmish of the Eish Kodesh was shining very brightly before the milchama, before the Warsaw Ghetto, before the heart-wrenching entries, the Torahs, the Drushas of the Eish Kodesh, before the heroism of the Rebbe during that time, his light was already shining. Even as a child, his light was shining. Hivik kol ha'olam kulam iziv hadaro. But if we want to understand, why is it that every year that passes, like Yaakov said, that as every year passes, the light of the Rebbe is growing stronger and stronger. And there are thousands of Jews in the world. There are in Eretz Yisrael, there's Yimei Iyun going on in different places, studying the Rebbe's Torah, Fabrangans, Jews gathering everywhere. It's because, Rebbe, you know that you are only Rebbe that gave us life in Gehenna. It's true that there are other tzaddikim who were there, and there were other tzaddikim, great, great, holy and righteous people who did whatever they could and who also stayed with us at that time. But I think that it's clear, and it becomes clearer year after year, that Rebbe, you were not only there with those Jews who were in Gehenna at that time. Rebbe, you know better than anyone. And this goes back to the Kushan Samagid's Chuskel and your illustrious ancestor. And you know that there were tzaddikim that before they left this world, they made a promise. And the promise that they made was that when they go to the other world, they're not going to forget. They're not going to forget the misery and the suffering of this world. And they're not going to go into Gan Eden. They refuse to enter into their place in Gan Eden until Hashem will send Mashiach. And Rebbe, you know that your ancestor, the Kushan Samagid, who was the Kadosh Kadoshim, the holiest of holies, said such a thing himself. But Rebbe, you know that the Tzaddikim revealed, because they had visions, that the Kushan Samagid, your ancestor, refused to go into Gan Eden. But David HaMelech came outside, because it wasn't possible for the Rebbe, for the Kushan Samagid, not to come to Gan Eden. How could that be? So David HaMelech, in an unprecedented appearance, a cameo appearance, outside of Gan Eden. David HaMelech came outside of Gan Eden, and he began to sing and to play his nigunim, his zmiris, his tilim. And the Kushan Samagid just drifted into Gan Eden on the nigunim of David Malki Mashiach. And Rebbe, you know that there were other tzaddikim that when they got to that place, we don't understand what it means, but surrounded by the tzaddikim, the Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu, and the songs of David HaMelech, that somehow, in some way, they don't feel the pain that the world is still in, and they don't see what we're going through in a different way, even now, the Gehenim that we're in. In a different way, the Gehenim that we're in. But Rebbe, we believe that you haven't left us. What the Zohar HaKadosh says, and the Tanya writes about Negeus HaKadosh, and in other places, Tver Shloime, and many tzaddikim, that the light of the tzaddik Rabbi Nachman, Susi Aleinu, that the light of the tzaddik, when he's no longer encumbered by the goof of this world, that the light of the tzaddik in the other world is even greater than it was in this world. But what's different about the light of Reb Kalonimus Kalmish ben HaRebbe Rav Elimelech is that, Rebbe, your light was shining from that place, not just of darkness, not just Nisat of Kadosh Baruch Hu, Bistalma, not just HaKadosh Baruch Hu being covered with a thick robe, with a very heavy covering, but your light was shining when Hashem was covered in a way that he was never covered before and has never been covered since. So the world feels that the same way that back then, 76 years ago, you swore you would never desert your brothers and sisters, so Rebbe, we believe that you're not deserting us as well now. And therefore, I believe that each and every Jew who enters into your Gan Eden, the Gan Eden of Chavos HaTalmidim, of Achshavos HaVreichim, of Tzav HaZiruv, of Derech HaMelech, B'nei Machshava Toiva, any Jew who enters into your magnificent world, especially the teachings of the worst or get of those drushes, Rebbe, we feel that you haven't left us. We feel somehow more than any of the tzaddikim, even your illustrious ancestors who were great beyond measure. But somehow, they in some way left us as well. But Rebbe, your battle cry during the years of rage, of anger, of concealment, your battle cry was, I will not leave you. And therefore now, when the light of Mashiach is about to emerge, and the world is submerged in the darkness of a sickness that we've never known and we don't understand, that has not only taken so many lives, but has broken so many spirits, and has caused such confusion, so much machlaikas, so much katnas. And Rebbe, we believe that you are not leaving us now, and that Bo'orach HaNira'or, and that with your light, we're able to believe that from this covering, this last darkness, this cave of Corona, that Hashem Yisbaruch will be uncrowned, and we'll be zeichet to be together with you and all the tzaddikim to greet David Malkim Mashiach b'mehav yamenu amen v'amen. Let me just share with you, Hamish, for a few minutes, an edus by a Jew by the name of Feingold. Who was in Warsaw before the Milchama, and during the Milchama survived eventually, and told us about the funeral, the Levaya, of the Amishna of Rebbe, Rabbi Yaakov Dovidel, Shchus Tigilein. Rabbi Yaakov Dovidel, the Amishna of Rebbe, and the Pisetzna and the Rebbe, were the closest friends, the dearest friends. And they both came down with typhus. The Rebbe almost died from typhus, but the Amish never died. And it was against the law of the ghetto, of the Germans, Yimach Shemam, for people to attend the Levaya. But Feingold wrote, Al afa isur l'shtatef b'levaya, despite the isur to participate in the levaya of the Amshnava, harebi mipiesetzna harlech acha mitas v'biankav dovril. The Rebbe, the Piesetzna, went after, followed the body, the oren of the Amshnava, v'einav zolgois demos. And the Rebbe's eyes were pouring with tears. They were coming down as heavy drops from under his glasses. Now listen to this, Chava, listen. I just found this, Hamish, before we started. And Feingold said that the Rebbe began to speak. There were some Jews who were there who were just given permission to take care of the body, of the arm. And this Feingold was there, and he heard the Rebbe began to speak. And the Rebbe was weighing very carefully every word. And he heard the Rebbe say, obviously in Yiddish, but he wrote it in Lashon HaKodesh. The Rebbe was saying the following. Reik misaviv. Everything is empty. Everything around me is empty, is reik. I see only emptiness. Kar b'neshama, there's a coldness of the soul. Rav hu nisyonah shel ha'adam anisha shokel b'chayim. Great is the test of a person who has been left alone amongst the living. Ein ani misraim chas v'sholem. This is after the Rebbe's family was all killed. Ein ani misraim chas v'sholem. I'm not complaining, and now he lost his dearest friend. I'm not complaining, chas v'sholem. Gemara says, "Chayv Adam Levarach Alara, Geshem Shem Levarach Alatoyev Shneema Hashem Nosan Hashem Lokach." Hashem, it's always you. The Gemara says that we bench you, we thank you, we give you a bracha before and after. When things are not good, when things are good, Mimela Nisharim Chayv. So the Rebbe says, "So I'm Chayv to be thankful, but to be Mes Chayv." Listen, he says, Yesh She'ilas Halev. But the Rebbe was saying, but Rabbanu Shalom, I have to tell you. There's a question of the heart. She'ilas Halev. V'yesh She'ilas Hamoach. And there's a question of the mind. A She'ilas Hamoach, when the mind has a question, when there's a sharp question, a good question that the mind is challenged by, a healthy and sharp mind can come up with a good answer. That's Mesiyashev Ladaz. But Rabbanu Shalom, Mila Shaila Salev. Rabbanu Shalom, you know that when the heart has a question, Eina Meteretz Ben Akel, It's not easy to answer that question. Im halev koev, if the heart is in pain, ein tshuva lekeev zeh, there is no cure for that aching heart. As she'elas halev, this question that the Jewish heart has, as ke'ev halev, the only way, Rabbi Shalom, to take away, to answer, to give a teretz for the question of the broken heart, of the heart that's in pain, is only when you take away the source of that pain, and the question is no longer a question. So Rabbi Shalom, I'm chayv to be grateful. I'm chayv to thank you. And they say, only teretz l'sheila salev. So maybe I can answer theologically, philosophically. Maybe I have an answer for what's going on in my life and our lives. But ainly teres l'sheila salev. But I have to tell you, my heart hasn't received an answer. Hasheila, this is the question of my heart. Al shumma nisharti yachid bodeid. Rabbi Shalom, why is it that you left me in the world alone? Why did you leave me in the world alone? You know, there are people this past year, maybe some now also, but especially during the worst time of the Magefa, there were Jews that, some of them were survivors of the Holocaust, that were by themselves without their families in the hospital, and they died by themselves. Al shumma, the question of my heart, al shumma nisharti yachid bodeid. Rabbi Shalom, why did you leave me alive by myself? All of my family was killed before my eyes. And I know that there is no answer for the question of this broken heart, because only by Tchias HaMeisim, when the cause of this pain will be removed, when I'll be able to see my family again, when I'll be able to see my chassidim again, when I'll be able to see my brothers and sisters again, will this pain or will this question be answered, or will it no longer be a question? Yachlev ke'ev halev. So going back to our question at the beginning of the night, Rebbe, why do we love you so much? Why is it that we identify so much with you, even though you're so beyond our understanding? Because each and every one of us has heard some very, very good answers to the she'elas hamoach, to the questions of the intellect, of the mind. We've had some good answers, and we study the svarim, and we read all kinds of good things. And there are many, many answers. Rebbe, you yourself wrote very beautiful answers to satisfy the questioning mind. But Rebbe, you know more than anyone the heart. Like you when you were walking, following your friend who died in the Warsaw Ghetto. You know, Rebbe, that the heart has questions that haven't been answered. Children who have lost a parent, divorces, children who have left Torah mitzvahs. There are so many questions that the heart has that haven't been answered. Why such good people have been through such misery and suffering. You know, the Zohar HaKadosh in Parshas Pinchas tells us that there was a guy, there was a Gentile who asked Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon that if the Jewish people are so close to Hashem, to God, then why is it that they're in such pain? Why is it that they suffer more than all of the nations? So you know what Rabbi Elazar did? You know what he said? First, like his father, he says, Nosan b'einav, this you'll enjoy. Rabbi Elazar placed his eyes upon this guy, and he turned him into a pile of bones. So that's your answer. As far as your question about why Jews are suffering. So that Goy was changed into a Gal Shalatzonis. Reb Loza had the eyes of his father. But then Reb Loza said that Yisrael, the Jewish people, are the heart of the world. And there's no organ, there's no part of the body that's so delicate, that feels so much the pain of every other part of the body, like the Kuzri writes about. There's no part of the body that's soft and gentle and feels every ounce of pain, the pain of the world. So Rebbe, you left your heart. You left your question. The question of the heart buried in a canister, in a milk canister, that was found under the rubble of the ruins of the Warsaw Ghetto. Miraculously, it was found with the Yuxavim. And the letter that you wrote to your brother, Reb Shaila, and to your chassid, and to your chassid, Rabbi Demelech ben Parat, that letter you wrote, that you're hoping that there'll still be some Jews, you believe there'll still be some Jews alive in the world somewhere in Eretz Yisrael, and you beg them that if they find this, that they'll be able to print the Svarim. I request that you print in each edition that I personally request and beseech of each and every Jew to learn my works. And the merit of my holy ancestors will assuredly stand by him and all his family in this world and the next. May God have mercy on us. And then he ended this letter. The beginning of Chavisa Talmidim that was then being printed, I placed only a memorial page for my saintly wife of blessed memory. Then things were still good. Things were still good for me. My saintly mother, my martyred son, and martyred daughter-in-law were still alive. But now, to my deep grief and anguish, I have lost all of these treasures. The light of my life has been doused. So I ask to print the following memorials, which I shall write down. May God have mercy and say, die enough to the affliction of the Jewish people and to my personal torment. May return to me my dear, sweet, and modest daughter, Rachel Yehudis, long life to her, who was kidnapped for me on the second day of Rosh Chodesh Elul, the week of Shoftim. Also, please print on the title page of the above books my name together with those of my Holy Father of blessed memory and Holy Father-in-law of blessed memory. I cannot write any more. May God have mercy and keep us alive with the rest of the remaining Jews so that I myself may merit to have them printed. Your beloved brother and friend, who yearns for you, broken and crushed for my torture and that of the Jewish people, which is deep as the greatest depths and high as the highest heavens. I am awaiting God's immediate salvation, Kolonimus. So Rebbe, we're waiting together with you. We're waiting for that answer to the question of the heart that only Hashem can heal. And we're excited because we believe that soon we're going to see you. And we're going to have such joy together with you when Hashem himself will finally answer the heart's question with the Gula Shema, with Chiyas HaMeisim, should be Mehem Yemein Amen V'Amein.